praise his name. We're going to have some testimonies we'd like to have. Some really, these are going to be very brief. We've asked them to be a minute or less. So, because we had so many go, we had about 40 go from the congregation to the Messiah Conference this year. And so it was just such an amazing time. But would you call come up who would share a minute? And Frances, you're going to help me moderate this. She's tougher than I am, so if we go over time, she's going to probably. But we will probably, some are away this week as well. Owen is away, who did so much. Sam Clark is away as well, so they'll probably might share a minute next week as well. But. I'm sorry. She said, we need a mic. Can you have the mic here? Oh, what so, did you just say? Wait, what did you just say?
I said Sandy and I would be happy to use Sam Clark's minute and Paul's minute.
Yeah, 2 minutes for each one.
So let's see. All right.
We basically are going to ask two questions to them. One is, what was the impact of Messiah in your on your life? And number two, would you recommend others to come and why? Okay? So let's start with the first one. And we go around, and I will take the mic out of your hands, okay? Okay, so let me start. Oh,
okay. Impact, aside from the cold that everybody else got, that I got this week, main impact, Rabbi Kim mentioned about the time being short, and one message that seemed to come through from a lot of the speakers was distractions, how much we let everything from what's going on in the news to what's going on in our personal lives distract us from our true purpose, and that really weighed heavy on me because I certainly know I have a lot of distractions in my life. Everybody else here, same thing. But as far as going, yes, go by all means. I'll be there next year, planning on it, and I think you'll be blessed.
Of course, you get to meet other believers, especially from Israel and other parts of the world, and I definitely recommend it.
Anne Marie.
Bruce Newberry.
And I'm Stacy. I was a newbie, according to Bruce. The biggest impact, I guess, it was just the outpouring of worship. It was beautiful. I mean, it truly was. Everything that they described ahead of time, it met that 100 times over. It was a pleasure on a daily basis and every night to be able to witness people opening up and allowing Yeshua into their hearts. It was beautiful. And I'm already praying about next year.
And who shared
the message?
What's that? Who shared the message about
the abortion?
I'm moderating, so.
Your turn.
I'm Mary Harvey Finley, and I guess one of the big impacts on my life is just being able to see the big picture, a bigger picture than just in our congregation, of what the Lord is doing with this movement, and just seeing so many from all over the world, from all over the United States. I like to have a big picture of what's going on, and it will definitely give you a bigger picture. So, yes, please go. We've gone for the last, I don't know, 5 years, I guess. And one more thing about it was this year, that so many from our family here were there, and that was great to just be able to spend some time together with them, too, there.
What she said. No, I mean, it really impacted me to, just see a worldwide movement. I mean, I love our little Col d'Odi, but this is a worldwide movement. And one of the speakers talked about calling it the Messianic Movement because it is Gentiles and Jews coming together to perform God's purpose on this earth. And as far as going next year, if you start saving this week, $15 a week, you will go to Messiah next year.
Well, there were a lot of wonderful things. One thing that impacted me while I was there was just our family here. Owen and Mary were like the mom and dad. You had a need, they ran to the store, got you a fan, whatever you needed. So don't worry, next year if you go, you will have a mother and father there taking care of you, because they ran around making sure everybody was comfortable and had their needs met. It was truly an act of love and service that they had there. But there were so many great teachings, but one I wanted to share with you that really struck me was when Simeon was blessing Yeshua, and I want to read that to you. When Yeshua was brought to the temple as a baby. "Now may you let your servant go in peace, O sovereign master, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the nations and the glory of your people Israel." So right there in the blessing of Yeshua were Gentile and Jew mentioned. I just want to leave you that with that this morning. It's just beautiful to think about that, and I had never thought about that. And yes, you would be so blessed to go, and it's such a wonderful time eating together every meal, laughing, joking around in the car, playing pranks on each other. All these people were doing all kinds of crazy things. It was like we were teenagers again.
Hi, I'm Teresa. I'm co-administrative assistant here with Fran, so I just ditto everything Fran just said. For me, this was my first time, and I love seeing the beautiful unity of Gentile and Jew and seeing Jewish people take the lead in bringing salvation to the world. It was beautiful. It culminated for me on the Shabbat service when the Word of God was preached, Yeshua was preached, and the Holy Spirit was glorified. So I was touched by that. It's diverse unity. Like we are, look around, we're diverse unity, and I definitely also am recommending you go. I don't think anyone's going to say you're not recommended to go.
I'm Joanne Jellip, and Paul is home coughing with what we all got while we were up there, but it was my first time, our first time also. I was impacted because having gone through kindergarten till eighth grade with 95% of my classmates being Jewish, for me to go to this conference and see an overwhelming number of Jewish people who love Yeshua just blew me away. We're here at Cold OD and I see it here, but to be at a conference with so many people and so all the speakers were Jewish rabbis, and I just was in awe. I just was in awe of the whole thing, and I'm just going to say you're crazy if you don't go.
I'm kidding. For me, was my first time too, and I learned a lot with Pastor David Hess. He opened my eyes and my heart. Plus, our rabbi taught us about life in the beginning and the pregnancy, how important it is. And I'm really blessed to have this family with me. Was really blessed. I never had that. And I'm ready to go next year. And I'm ready to come here every Saturday.
Well, it was an awesome thing. I loved it very much. The music was phenomenal. The food was, the cafeteria food was even awesome. And I just loved the way they put things together, and it impacted me very much, because all the prayer and stuff, and the music just puts you in a time of worship you never really thought you were able to get into. And I really loved it. Yes, I recommend.
I think we all recommend. I'll just say anybody who's gone wishes they can go back. And we definitely want to go every year. I think with that many teachers and speakers there, you know, God is... He's bound to use one of them to speak to you. I mean, he did it to just about everybody here. I know he did it for me. So if you have questions or anything, I'm sure God will use one of these guys to minister to your life. But I definitely recommend it.
I had so much fun and learned so much, I can't even really put it into words.
I think we echo everything that everyone else has said, but I specifically would like to say that doing daily life with these people, that's the hardest thing to come back to, is not seeing all these people every day, having breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you come back missing. So today is like another reunion, getting to see all the people you get to see all week. And coming back next year, those who have kids, the word conference sounds like, you know, drag my kids to a conference. But it's not like that. It's a family adventure. And I would highly recommend that families go.
I just want to echo what everyone else said. But definitely go if you can next year. Eliza, my wife, she's not here today, but she wanted me to convey that the just what Mary Harvey said, that it expanded your vision of the Messianic movement, that this is a worldwide movement. God's moving among the Jewish people everywhere, and even in Israel, when those Israelis took the stage on Israel night, and you saw all of them, it's like the tip of the spear of God's kingdom. So that's what blew me away. I remember that more than anything else.
Hi, I'm Devin. I would say that I was impacted the most by, as a young adult, just seeing what everybody else is doing in their congregation as young adults and what role we play as far as the movement. And it was really cool just to bounce ideas back and forth between the other congregations. And also just the prayer. There were a lot of times that we got to pray for people and people got to pray for us, and just being able to be around people that love Yeshua and believe the same thing that you do is really awesome. So I would definitely suggest going to anybody. I feel like it's definitely a growing experience.
Same thing she said about the prayer. Zeke had a booth there in the marketplace, and that was one of my favorite parts, was getting to meet other people, and we got the opportunity to pray for a lot of people, and also the times of prayer that they had throughout the conference.
Hi, I'm Alex. Duana stole what I was going to say. But the booth was also my favorite part. We just got to interact with, like she said, a lot of different people and pray for people. And if we hadn't had that booth, we wouldn't have been able to interact with the people that we did. And they sold into us, and we hopefully sold into them, and that was awesome. I also love the music. I'm a music person. I love music. So the worship and the Israeli group and How to Fly, they were all great to see. And, yeah. Oh, I would definitely recommend going back. It was great.
Women first.
Hi, I'm Rachel. And Dave and I went last year. Dave and I went last year, and I met so many young people, and now I have all these new friends, and I got to reconnect with them this year. And I also went to all the dance classes, of course. And I think the thing that stuck out to me was the marriage class, and also Krav Maga. I was fighting in this class. It was so cool. So. With the dance classes, I fell in love with this teacher, Mindy Setta, and I tried to buy all of her DVDs, but David wouldn't let me. But yes, I encourage anyone that loves dancing to come, and meeting everyone is so fun, and it's crazy how much you have in common. It's really cool, so yeah.
We hold each other accountable. My name is David. And I manage the budget. No. I think there were a few things that stuck out to me. Number one, I'm not much of a dancer publicly, but I really appreciate that at Messiah Conference, there's a culture where men are not inferior in worship. They're equal. And I think a lot of times it's natural in America for men to be a little reserved when it comes to postures of prayer and different forms of worship. But if you go to the Messiah Conference, you'll see that like there's dance circles of 200 people and half of them are men. That's not for me necessarily, but I thought that was really special. The other thing that I would say is How to Fly is a band that we've brought in a couple of times. They're from the Atlanta, Georgia area. And to see all of the, there were probably, I don't know, 100 young people like between the ages of 13 and 30 jumping up and down while they were playing songs that were proclaiming Yeshua as Lord. Just to see a new wave of musical expression of worship being accepted by all of the generations across the board, it was just really powerful for me. So,
hello, everybody. I'm Miranda. I help out with leadership at Zeke, our young adults group here at Cold OD. And so what was really beneficial was to see the community of young adults, just like Devin was talking about, and Zeke got to participate in a roundtable discussion with a bunch of other young messianic leaders within their own congregations, and it was really helpful. We were able to bounce ideas off each other, you know, and we learned a lot through that. It was a great way to continue to build the community that God is doing. You know, He is really tying these ties together between us all across the country. So it's very exciting to see that very physical way and to participate in that. So yay, yay God.
Hi, my name is Samuel Engel, and probably what impacted me the most was seeing the big group of kids my age worshiping Yeshua, and I haven't seen that in a really long time, so it was nice seeing that, and I recommend going.
Amen. My name is Lou Rawls. I lost my voice there at the conference. I haven't found it yet. The joy for me was the unity in the spirit. They spoke about the one man. So we had Jew and Gentile coming together, and something special was really happening there. And I struggled to really put it into words what I was seeing and feeling, what was going on in my heart, until I came back this week. I helped Owen this week scrape stucco, old stucco off a brick wall, and that's really what's happening. That's what's happening in my own heart. Old prejudices, old ideas that are false are being stripped away to make way for a new idea. And so I'm so overwhelmed with the truth that Yeshua is coming soon, amen? And that was evident there with the Spirit, amen? Amen. Amen. God bless.
Owen would be very upset with me, and I would be upset with myself, if we didn't say thank you for those of you who stayed and prayed for us to have this great experience, and for the safety, everybody made it back, and even, I mean, a little worse for the wear maybe, but we are so grateful, and thank you so much for your prayers.
I just want to say something. For us, we feel so proud to be able to bring so many of us from our own body to Messiah Conference. And we kept sharing with all the rabbis and family. We have 40 people, you know. So we were so excited. But that was the most important thing, is that we want our whole family here to be able to see the vision, to see that we are not alone here, to see that we are just a microcosm, I can say the word, cosm, of a big macrocosm, whatever, a big group, a big family. We all need to share together the vision. And for Ken and I, especially, is more refreshing to see so many young adult Israelis worshiping the Lord, because when we live in Israel, we didn't see that. So it just keeps reminding us, the Lord keeps reminding us that there is a big future for all of us. We have a big destiny together. We all have to keep working, not to give up, to persevere. And just as Fran said, start saving $15 every day so you can come. Every day, so that you can come next year.
I remember all of the things that I
before my eyes I saw my heart, it came to life. This ain't easy, it's not meant to be. Every story has its scars, but when the pain cuts you deep, and when the night keeps you from sleeping, just look and you will see that I will be your remedy. When the world seems so cruel and your heart too deep for me to swim to you. Come whatever, I'll be the shelter that won't let the rain come through. Your love, it is my truth, and I will always love you. Love you. When the pain, when the night keeps you from sleeping, just look and you will see that I will be your remedy. When the world seems so cruel and your heart makes you feel like a fool, I promise you will see that I will be, I will be your remedy. When the pain cuts you deep, when the night keeps you from sleeping, just look and you will see I will be, when the world
the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I remember when I gave Adele her first singing lesson. Okay, I just thought I'd say that. Praise the Lord. I actually been waiting to use that song, and I thought it'd be really good place today in lieu of things that have happened, and then in lieu of just Numbers chapter 21. If you'd turn there briefly, Numbers chapter 21, in the parasha today. Bamidbar, and don't forget our picnic and mikveh, July 30th, coming up really soon, and that's be a Shabbat after service. We'll be going over there, so coming right up. So for every malady, God has a remedy, really. Are we aware of the power that we have to influence and impact other people? A young person, a new believer. Isaiah 42, verse 3 has been a verse that has brought back to my mind recently, a few occasions. A bruised reed, it reads this, a bruised reed he will not break, A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. You want to try that? I'll give you the first phrase and you repeat it again. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Isaiah 42, verse 3. You can say that too. That's how I memorize a lot of scripture. Just recite the reference after. The pastor where I went to a Bible college, he would give the references. I would go back and study that, stay up all night studying those references, you know, and that's the way I committed a lot of scripture. And the references, to, and I'll tell you, I'm so glad today that I have it, because a lot of times I'm looking for something, and I know the reference just from years ago. And but, you know, one word or one look can devastate or exhilarate a teenager or a child. Did you know that? Your look, and many of us could have heard stories or could share our own stories of one word or one look that really, really, devastated you or affected you, impacted you in a negative way, in a bad way growing up, and vice versa, you know. And this just was, I was reminded of this even more so when at the conference, you know, sometimes with a little bit of time, I wish I'd spent more with teenagers and with others, but I just said, wow, I can say one good thing and that can make their, not just their day, but their life, perhaps, by saying, what a great thing you shared, or how great that was, you know? Lift someone up. And likewise, a discouraging word or a look can have such ramifications and make a person never want to, you know, go back in their shell and never come out again. And not that you can't overcome it with the Lord, but these things affect us. You know, we must be so careful not to destroy a person's capacity for God. We must not judge by the outward appearance. 1 Samuel 16:7, right? Let's just keep doing this. Excuse me. We must not judge by the outward appearance, but ask God to show us the inward heart. The inward heart. Thanks, Joe. Thank you. Yeah, I may try switch if I'm keep having trouble. Thank you. We can damage an individual's small, very small capacity for God, you know, and break that bruised reed, you know, just getting ready to break, and you just takes a touch, the wrong touch, or snuff out the smoldering wick. But likewise, one good word, one good smile, one kind smile can make such a difference. In this passage in Numbers chapter 21, Israel has traveled. We read verse 4, Numbers 21, verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Sea of Reeds in order to go around the land of Edom. And so they had to pass around Edom or Edom rather than cut through it and hence go south, then east, then north to enter from the eastern side of the Jordan River. And so marching, they were actually marching away from their destination, from Canaan or Canaan, in a dry, very rugged, dreary, and difficult area and journey. And, you know, Sebel shared this morning, I know Debbie among them, you know, she does so much work to get ready for the Oneg, do you ever have one of those days where just everything goes wrong? It's just like boom, 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 you know? I think there's some funny thing about that, like kick the dog and kick the cat, something and everything. But, you know, it's just one of those, and sometimes, remind me of 1 Peter 1:6, you know, it says we have manifold temptations, manifold trials. They're like from every side you get assaulted. Boom, 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 boom. And sometimes God allows it. And the issue is how we respond to it, of course, you know. It knocks us down, and it says that we're discouraged. And that verse actually says we're distressed. He says, I understand you're rejoicing in your salvation, but you're also at the same time distressed. There's a heaviness by many-sided trials, and we face that, you know. But the issue is, of course, then how we respond through the Lord and turning to the Lord. We fail, you know. Am I the only one? You know, we stumble, we fail, we blow it. We righteous man falls 7 times and then rises up again. I love that verse. I think it's Proverbs 24:16 or 16:24, one or the other. But the righteous man falls 7 times and rises up, gets back up. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. Though I fall,
I shall arise. Though I walk in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me, Micah says. Micah 7, 6, or somewhere in there, Micah 7. And so we get back up, you know. I wrote this down. I said, I love Facebook. You know, I started using it a couple years ago. I had it activated. I started using it after our Israel trip, and I love it's a way to relax and connect with others and to be able to wish. I love to be able to. It's so easy to wish someone. If I have it on there, it reminds me, hey, it's someone's birthday today. I love to be able to say happy birthday and write it in Hebrew, you know, and just wish, you know, make someone's day. I love the connecting of, you know, and sharing good experiences and being able to just feel more connected to people. But Facebook is partially Farcebook. We usually only post, and that's not always true, but we usually post the good experiences. And I know we do post other things too, but most times, and that's okay, because I mean, that's what things we want to remember. But what about the trials and the difficulties? You know, we were going on a boat ride with our son-in-law, my daughter and son-in-law in Baltimore. And so I posted, you know, it was hot and it was humid day, but we went out there in the harbor. The water's not too clean. I didn't really want to swim in it anyway, but I would have. But anyway, you're going out. But, you know, I posted on Facebook, you know, the beautiful pictures of my son-in-law. He's proud, you know, driving his boat and everything. And then as we just got, you know, past the boats and get out there ready to, you know, anchored and ready to swim, guess what happened? He realized that the water was filling the boat, that the water pump had died. And so we had to just turn around, you know, get the anchors up and turn around and go back to shore. And guess what? I didn't post the going back to shore. I didn't post that. Or I didn't post the picture of the water pump. He got it fixed. You know, he's got it fixed. He's very handy. I can fix about anything. I can turn a screwdriver or change a light bulb. That's the extent of my being able to fix anything. But, but you know, we in our lives, you know, life is not merely what you see on Facebook. It's much more, including difficulties and hardships, as well as accomplishments and blessings. Long, tedious hours of work, along with reward. The rewards that come sometimes, but sickness, just like we say in sometimes in marital vows, you know, sickness as well as health, sorrows as well as joys, trials as well as triumphs. It's all part of life, you know. And the people here didn't respond in the right way. In verse 4, it says that the soul of the people became impatient along the way. And the word impatient is katsar. You want to try that? Beautiful, katsar. Yeah, that's the root. The word means, it means short. Like you say someone's, he's short-tempered. Or he has a short fuse. And the word in the Hebrew means a cutting. It's like used of harvesting. It's a cutting motion. And you know, Hebrew is concepts more than definitions, you know, the Hebrew language. So they lost it. They exploded. Frances says, she gave me a Spanish name. She's teaching the children right now, otherwise I'd let her explain it to you. But she says, I'm Fosforito. She started giving me the name Fosforito. And I guess that's what it means. Sometimes I'll burst or explode, you know, like quickly and, you know, I guess like Ricky Ricardo and the old I Love Lucy things, you know. So I have to say, yes. I guess it happens. I'm not just told there's always calm up here, like see me right now. But the issue is, I must not live in my natural man. I have to, just like you have to, we have to choose to live in, not in our fleshly reaction to things, but in our spiritual reaction through the Holy Spirit. Am I easily offended? You know, do I easily get offended by what people do? Yeshua said at one point to the disciples, he says, does this offend you? John 6:61. Matthew 11:6, he said, blessed is he who's not offended in me, not led to stumble because of me. Psalm 119:165, great peace, shalom rav in Hebrew, shalom rav, great peace have they who love your Torah and nothing offends them, nothing causes them to stumble. The word really means, from kashal, michshul, from kashal, it means to an occasion for stumbling, a stumbling block, you know, and Yeshua himself in Messianic prophecy is referred to as a tzur michshal, a stumbling, a rock of stumbling, a rock of offense, Isaiah 8 and verse 14. He's a stone of striking, as it would be. So God will sometimes intentionally allow us to be offended. That's right. To be bewildered or even hurt. You say, God will do that? Yes, he does. To put me out of sync. Why would he do this? Well, to reveal and expose my pride, my self-will, so that it can be brought into death, into the grave, so that we can humble ourselves and live in not natural life, but resurrection life. You see? That's why God allows it. We walk in our own will and our own way oftentimes, and we expect all to go just as we've planned, and the Lord will cause other people sometimes to say and do things that upset us and that disrupt our plans and our patterns. That's God's way of us growing and not living in our natural life. 1 Corinthians 10, he says, for I don't want you, and I'm reading several verses from that passage, but he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. And let's not test the Lord as some of them did, and they were destroyed by serpents. That's referring to the passage that we're looking at right now. Now, these things happened to them as an example, and it was written down as a warning to us. And then he says later on, I love verse 13, no temptation has taken hold of you except what is common to mankind. But God is faithful. Let's say that. God is faithful, beautiful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But with the temptation, he will also provide a what? Way of escape. You know the passage. A way of escape so that you will be able to, so that it won't exist anymore. No, so that you will be able to endure it or bear it. Yeah, that's what it says. That's sometimes God's plan. And in verse 5:21-5, you see what happened here. They were short, and the people spoke against God and Moses. Miriam and Aaron had died, we read in the last chapter, so they weren't there now. But they spoke against God and Moses, who was still alive, and they said, why have you brought us from Egypt to die in the wilderness? Is that what God had done, by the way? Well, it's what happened, actually, but it's not what God had intended. He didn't bring them out of Egypt to die, but that was, you know, the heat of the desert, the difficulty. I mean, fuses can be short very easily. I mean, hot weather. You always have to be careful. I'm always a little nervous in traffic, you know, because people, you realize, hey, people are, they just, you know, sometimes want to just get where they're going, and the heat has an impact. It's no excuse, but I'm saying so we have to be more careful. But he says, why? They said, why have you brought it? They said, because there's no bread and no water. And that was in their estimation, it really was. And not our very spirits detest this despicable food. So look at what they're saying. They're saying, why have you brought us to die here? Ein lechem, the ein mayim, no bread, no water. And our soul is the Hebrew word kutz. Let's try kutz. It's right in the middle there. Yeah, kutz, it means disgusted. It means, and actually to repel. They're repelling. With this worthless, really this insubstantial bread, the haklokel, a little hard to say. Try klokel. Sounds like kale almost. Yeah, it's klokel. It's kale, but with something else. And it really means, it's like a doubling the word. Very, so light, but doubling it. So very light. They're saying, basically, God could do much better than this. And we're not happy with it. We're miserable. And they were completely dissatisfied with the manna, the lack of food and water in their estimation. Listen to Romans 1, verses 21-22. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, this principle, neither were thankful. But what happens when we're not thankful? Look what happened. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They became, the Greek word is dialogismos. Dialogismos means confused and unclear in our reasoning process. It means mentally impaired. You become mentally impaired and then emotionally dysfunctional. Rabbi Nachman, one of my favorite rabbis, the Breslov rabbi, said, the wicked disdained the manna, calling it lechem hakolkel, insubstantial bread, and they complained about it. But the righteous honored the manna so that they were able to taste every good thing there was to taste in it. To them it was heavenly bread. Wow, two different outlooks. So listen, the problem was not with God, nor with the bread, nor with Moses. The problem was with them. Their dissatisfaction and disgust was really with themselves. They were repelled by themselves. The word means repelled. They were repelled by themselves. It's not where you are or how you got there. It's not what you lack or what you don't like, what I don't like. My conflict, your conflict, is actually with God. And we need to see that. Proverbs 27:7 says, one who is full loathes honeycomb, but to one who is hungry, every bitter thing is sweet. Wow, what a different outlook. Even the bitter thing, every bitter, it's sweet. So it says that the Lord sent, you know the story here, and I'm going to move quickly through this last part because we've got Greg coming up. He's going to play some amazing worship for us and praise for us. But verse 21, verse 6 says, so Adonai, the Lord sent poisonous, or in the Hebrew word is burning serpents, burning snakes among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Rashi said the poison, Rabbi says, the poison in their fangs made their victims feel as if they were burning. So what a horrible scene. Picture the scene, hundreds, maybe thousands of poisonous, deadly snakes. Harrison Ford would not have been there. Biting, causing burning pain and death. And they're basically reaping the venom of their slander. You know, they're reaping what they sowed. And so they confess it. So they realize it as seeing everybody die. And so those that were living are still, now they do repent. They turn to God in verse 7. They said, we sinned. We spoke against the Lord and you. They're calling to Moses, pray to the Lord for us that he may take away the snakes. And so Moses did. He prayed for the people. We ask sometimes that God would remove the instrumentality of discipline, but God might instead raise up a remedy while giving us the ability to endure the snakes, so to speak. He redeems, he doesn't necessarily remove. He can remove, and sometimes he totally removes, but sometimes he redeems without removing right away, at least. And sometimes we need to appeal to those in spiritual authority in order to end the chastisement. That's what they did. They went because they had spoken again. Now, listen, let me ask us this question. Am I quick to forgive? It says that God is slow to anger and quick to forgive. Why are we sometimes quick to anger and slow to forgive? Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Why are you quick to judge and slow to show mercy sometimes, or am I? Rather, we should be as God. He's ready to forgive. So in verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, you know the story again. What a powerful picture this is. Make yourself a fiery snake. He gave him some freedom in what he would do. But the Hebrew words, I think it's saraf there. I don't have my vowels there. It's sharaf or sarah. I think saraf. It means burning, to separate elements through heat. And he put it on a nes. Let's say the word nes. Nes, that's the word there up there. You see nes from nasas. Put it on a, it's hard to define, but this word is used, it means elevate it, raise a signal. It's like a flag, like raising a flag on the ship. Lift it up, and it shall be everyone that's bitten when he sees, the Hebrew word ra'eh, to see, he shall live. And then he says, so they put it on a pole, they lift it high up, and so that everyone can see it and receive its benefits. Basically saying, make it very visible. Make it's a copper serpent. He chose a copper. Make it very visible. So I want to make this point. We should market our message. It is God's will, even his command, that we tell the whole world, right? That's God's will. We publicize, not privatize. This is God's remedy, God's cure, the solution, the antidote, the answer. If I knew I had a cure for cancer, you knew you had a cure for cancer, would you just say, well, I found the cure. I'll just tell a few friends. And if people happen to find out and come and ask me, I'll let them know. I'll know all about it. Can you imagine that? We have the cure. We have Yeshua. We have the Messiah. You know, this symbol, the medical symbol we sometimes see, I tried to find out about it a little bit. You know, I'm not going to pronounce it right. The caduceus? Caduceus? Anyone know? How is it, Teresa? Right? Caduceus? The traditional symbol of Hermes features two snakes winding around a winged staff and is often mistakenly used as a symbol of medicine instead of the rod of, I'll mispronounce this one, Asclepius. In Greek mythology, the rod or staff of Asclepius, there it is up there, is a serpent-entwined rod wielded by the Greek god, anyway, a deity associated with healing and medicine. The significance, I'm just excerpts here, expresses the dual nature of the work of the physician who deals with life and death, sickness and health. It can reflect the ambiguity of the use of drugs, which can help or harm, as reflected in the meaning of the term pharmakon, which meant drug. Greek word, of course, pharmakon. Drug or medicine. Medicine and poison in ancient Greek. It can mean either. Products deriving from the bodies of snakes were known to have medicinal properties in ancient times, but of course some have linked, it says in this article, the symbol to the sacred copper serpent wrapped around the pole mentioned in the Bible in the book of Numbers. And actually that record, that the account we're reading today, predates Asclepius by two or three centuries from what I get. So a number of organizations and services use this rod as their logo or part of their logo in Asia, Australia, Canada, Europe, and South Africa, and the U.S., where it's the dominant symbol for professional healthcare associations. About 62% use it. So it does come from, many believe, from this passage of Scripture that it's used, but there's different interpretations mean. So Moses made the bronze snake, and he put it on a pole, and then a different Hebrew word is used in verse 9. It says, if a serpent had bitten a man, then he looked directly, navat. Let's say the word navat. It's the word in the middle. The word in the middle there, navat. That's the root. It means to look directly. And it's not only that. It means to look, and there's the idea of something bursting forth and shining, that illumination occurs. So in other words, they'd stare toward the copper snake, and if he does, he will what? Live, exactly. Isaiah 45, we read it earlier. Look into me, the ends of the earth, and be saved. Doesn't use that word there, but it says God's saying, face me. But then Zechariah 12:10, you can't not cover the talk about that passage in relationship to this. I will pour out in the future, this is going to happen with our people, our Jewish people. He's going to pour out upon the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And this word navat is used. They shall look unto me. In other words, look directly at me, whom we've thrust through, and mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and be in bitterness for him. This is our Jewish people turning en masse to the Lord, to Messiah, Yeshua. Salvation is not simply a random acknowledgement. It's not just seeing, but seriously recognizing, a staring, until the light bursts forth. It's not a glance, it's a gaze. And that's what salvation is. So Yeshua said it. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert when he referred to this in John 3, so I must, the Son of Man, Ben Adam, must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Yeshua, like Moses' serpent, became the object of hope, remedy, healing, deliverance, and he was the instrument which would reverse the curse of sin's penalty. He bore our sins in his body. So in closing, salvation is, think about it. When I think about what is salvation, people argue over all these things about how, you know, but think about this story in the Bible. They looked. Do you think they knew they had a need? My gosh, they're dying. There's venom in them. They're dying. They're going to die. They're desperate. And in their dilemma, in their need, they're looking to God's solution, to what Moses is putting up. They've repented. They've turned to God. They've said, God, help. Moses, forgive us. Help us. And he's praying. And God gives him the antidote. He says, so that's what salvation is. Look out of our desperate need, turning to God for his remedy. And it's looking intently to him whom I've thrust through until the illumination comes. The illumination comes and we see the truth. Isn't that amazing? His light of forgiveness and his healing, the healing bursts forth. They looked to him and were radiant. Beautiful in Psalm 34, verse 6. The snakes were still there, but the remedy was greater. As Moses lifted up the copper serpent as a flag for all to see, it was as if to say, look what you've caused. Your slander has resulted in death, but God has turned things around. He's redeemed you. He's borne your sin, provided miraculous healing. You have you've confessed your guilt. You've sought his intervention. Now take your eyes off the frightful surroundings. Don't stare at the snake. Stare at the copper one. But stare directly at God's solution, his remedy. You can't be healed. You're not going to solve your problem by keep dwelling on your sin and continuing to talk about what happened and, oh, we've got to keep working. That's not where the remedy comes. It's looking at what God's solution is. He's done it. It's a remedy. He says you'll live in this beautiful word. Healing, to have eternal life, chaya, it's God's thoughts for us. Beautiful, beautiful meaning. So we found if you found a secret potion which allowed you, like the old Twilight Zones, that you're going to live forever and you're not going to die, would you drink that potion? And would you offer it to others? Every person is going to die in their sins or live forever with God. Have new life in God, and we have the answer. So thank you, Lord. Help us to bring that answer to others, Lord. Help us to bring this answer. You've provided the remedy, Lord. You are the solution, and you've given it to us in Yeshua, Lord, in bearing our sins. We thank you and praise you for that. And let's just give the Lord a praise offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. Help us to give it to others, Lord. Praise you. Help us to look for ourselves. Look to healing ourselves. Look for healing and receive that healing. And now, without further ado, we have a very special guest today. So service will be a little lengthy, but you're not gonna be bored at all with Greg Silverman. We're so glad to have us. He performs at the Messiah Conference every year. Has been active, a leader in the Messianic Jewish community for many years. So let's give him a warm welcome, Greg Silverman.
Shalom, everyone. It's good to be here with you, and it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. God will provide the remedy. God's faithful to provide the remedy. He's the worthy King. He's above all gods. He's the King of all kings. Lord, there's none like you. We worship and adore you. There is none like you. Your glory shines before you. There is none like you. Our humble hearts bow low, knowing there is none like you. Let's stand to our feet and sing this chorus together. There is none like you. We worship and adore you. There is none like you. Your glory shines before you. There is none like you. Our humble hearts bow low, knowing there is none like you. Every time we wrap around to that chorus, let's sing it together, okay? All right? All right. And the children are back, ready to celebrate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who am I, O Lord, my God? And what is my house? That you have brought us here this far and given us your love. It is for your word's sake, according to your heart, have brought us here this far. Let the praises start, let's sing it together. There is none like you. We worship and adore you. There is none like you. Your glory shines before you. There is none like you. Our humble hearts bow low, knowing there is none like you. Hallelujah! You are the King of Kings. There's none like you. You're above all gods. Hallelujah! Amen. There is nothing that can separate us from your love. For your Son Yeshua poured out mercy from above. And Israel's a miracle. She's come back to your heart. You have brought her here this far. Let the praises start. Come on, there is none like you. We worship and adore you. All right, your glory shines before you. There is none like you. Our humble hearts bow low, knowing there is none like you. Oh, 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 yeah. With you we will go the distance. With you we will go forever. With you we to the nations and tell to all creation. With you we will go the distance. With you we will go forever. With you we will go to the nations and tell to all creation. There is none like you. We worship and adore you. There is none like you. Your glory shines before you. There is none like you. Our humble hearts bow low, knowing there is none like you. Yeah. Who am I, O Lord my God, and what is my house? What is my family that you've brought us here this far? You've blessed us here this well. Lord, there's none like you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lead, I will follow you. Where you lead, I will follow you. There is none like you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lead, I will follow you. There's none like you. Praise you, Lord. We give you all praise and thanksgiving to the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Can you shout hallelujah? There is none like you. We worship and adore you. Knowing there is none like you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So Dave mentioned about the men dancing. We have children men. We have boys dancing. We have young men dancing. And we have some women dancing. Are there any other demographics we should add to this circle? Come on, men. Let's come on in for Ahura. Let's have some men dancing. Yay! Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Let's keep that clapping going. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations, hey. Hallelujah. You may be seated. This area is very special to our family. Last year, the Silvermans came down and did a recording down in your Nashville area with a producer named Dan Needham. And we finally released the first song from this new batch of songs. We'll release them one at a time as singles. This first one just came out on July 1st, and the video came out just a few days after that. And it's called Provide. And I'd like to share it with you all today. And we're going to have a video with it as well. God's a faithful provider. I thank you, Lord, that you provide the remedy. You provide the healing. You provide all that we need for life and love. I believe, I will, I receive what you have for me. I take it, I have it, I forgive and am set free. You are my supply, you provide for all my needs. El Shaddai, you provide for all my needs. Desert. I'm making streams in the wilderness. Divine supply for you.
in a new beginning. My goodness is never ending. I will provide for you. Why a man should die for you? God says that he's the faithful provider. Amen. All things new, do not dwell in the past. I am doing a new thing that will last. You are my supply, you provide for all my needs. El Shaddai, you provide for all my needs. God says, I am making a way in the desert. I am making streams in the wilderness. Divine supply for you. I am making a new beginning. My goodness is never ending. I will provide for you. I am El Shaddai for you. I forgive, I believe, I will, I take it, I have it, I thank you for it, and I forgive, I believe, I will, I take it, I have it, I thank you for it, and I forgive. I am making a way in the desert. I am making streams in the wilderness. Divine supply for you. I am making a new beginning. My goodness is never ending. I will provide for you. I am out to die for you. I will provide for you.
He's a faithful provider, that which you need. Our Heavenly Father who loves us is going to give it. Amen.
New beginning, everybody, he's provided. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So it was quite a journey to get that song out, and actually, that my wife, well, my wife Rosa, she's in town as well, but she was feeling under the weather. She's back at the hotel now, but she produced that video. So I recorded the song, and she made the video, and that was also her in the video. She was one of the ladies in the video as well, the one dancing on the beach. While I'm talking about family, my sons are here as well. This is my son, Benjamin. And this is my son, Judah, over here. And we're really glad to be with you here today.
I will provide for you. Boy, I'm also
tell you just a little bit more about that song, that those words, I am making a way in the desert, I'm making streams in the wilderness, that's from Isaiah 43. And God provided this song, I wrote the song several years back, right before our family moved to Arizona, which is literally in the desert. I know some of you, so you know where we've been living and so forth, but between 2010 and 2013, we lived in Tucson, Arizona. I was going to doctoral school there in music, doctoral in music school. And so right before going, we had this song, I'm Making a Way in the Desert. And then we had this quite an experience of being full-time in doctoral school with a wife and two children out in the desert of Tucson. So I would just go through the streets thinking to myself, God is making a way in the desert. He's making a way in the desert. He's making a way in the desert. He's faithful, amen. He's a faithful God. And he loves you so much that he gives you what you need. And he also fulfills the desires of your heart. You align your desires with his, and he fulfills that as well. So he gives you what you want in him, and he gives you what you need. I will provide for you. This is a song that's something we can all sing together. I think you'll know. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Is that one that you know here? Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Let's sing that out together. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. I don't mean to put him on the spot, but is Stacy the drummer still around? Do you know this one? You play along for this? Oh, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. But while we're here, can we give a big thank you for Jennifer and the worship team? Week after week, leading you all into worship. It sounds great. This worship team this morning sounded wonderful. Are good and your mercy endures forever. That's good, thanks. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Let's hear you sing that. Congregation, sing. You are. Sing it again, sing it again. From every nation, people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you, hallelujah. Let's sing this next part. Lord, you are good. Let's do it in Hebrew. Ki tov, ki leolam, kas tov. Here we go. Ki tov, ki leolam, kas tov. Ki tov, ki leolam, kas tov. All right, let's see how you got it. Go ahead. That's good. Ki tov ki leolam kas tov. Ki tov ki. People from every nation, people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, baruch Hashem, hallelujah. the time. You are good, you are good. All the time. You are good, you are good. All the time, all the time. You are good, you are good. Just kick. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. Good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to messianic songs that I wrote is the Dry Bones song, and you may be seated again if you'd like. And in Ezekiel 37 it says that the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel, and the Spirit of the Lord came and led Ezekiel into the middle of a valley, and the valley was full of dry bones. And that these bones are the whole house of Israel.